This is Believe in Buckeyes. Show is brought to you by Bet Online. Chimp, hit him with the ad.
So Bet Online continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop to your mobile device. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team. And remember to use the promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here.
And if you have any issues with gambling, feel free to reach out to 1-800-GAMBLER. They're 24/7 to help you out with what you need there. But this was Believe in Buckeyes with Brian Brownie and Chindy Check. Well, we got a great, good show for you guys today because we're talking about Ohio State greats, man. We're talking about OSU greats. Obviously, we played at OSU, and in my mind, I was pretty good. Chin was definitely pretty good. He was a great. He was an All-American. But we're going to kind of dive into it a little bit. But, Chin, how you doing, man? How you feeling?
Feeling good, yeah. I think so. Justin Fields came out with his, Mount Rushmore. I think he was asked a question, right? Yeah. Fields is not a guy who grew up in Ohio. He's also younger than us, right?
Yeah. So, mm-hmm.
You don't expect the guy to reach too far back in history, but I thought he had a pretty solid list.
It was solid list. Yeah, a lot of people are kind of like, what is he talking about? This is crazy. Like, what's this thing? I'm like, man, for a guy from Georgia, right, and essentially transferring to Ohio State, like, he did reach back and kind of grab some guys. But if you didn't catch his list, on his list, he had Ezekiel Elliott running back. He had Troy Smith, Heisman winning quarterback, Ted Ginn Jr., specialist, wide receiver, speed threat for many years at Ohio State and professionally as well. Then he also topped it off with the Heisman winning running back, Eddie George. I mean, you only could pick four up there, man. But that's a solid list, man. What are your thoughts on Fields' list? I mean, obviously, first of all, Fields got a lot going on, man. Justin Fields and Jerry got a lot going on, right? I think, if you're in the football world, we don't know if he's going to be a Bear next season, if he's going to get traded. Are they going with it? Because they got the number one overall draft pick, but good luck to him. I know he will be successful. My opinion, the Bears should keep him. In my opinion, the Bears should keep him. I've seen enough out of him improvement that he's, actually wants to be there. And a lot of times you don't get that for people playing for the Bears. So that's my opinion. But, Jimmy, we want to kind of talk about our Mount Rushmore, man. And I think yours is more historic. Mine is very personal. Yeah. I've got on my list is, I think it makes sense. I got off the lineman on my list. I got guys that I played with on my list and looked up to for many a year. So, like I said, I got a very personal list. And I know your list is kind of – we don't even know what your list is going to be. So, we're going to wait for that. But I'm going to hit everyone with my list. So, my list I have Orlando Pace, the great offensive tackle at Ohio State. I think it's almost like – even though if you know Ohio State football, it's kind of like self-explanatory, right? It's like, this guy's the pancake – King, he had a Heisman run in there. He used to destroy guys on the field. He was a very big guy and very athletic, man. I mean, you see some of the clips of him, like, running downfield, like, keeping up with running backs, running past wide receivers and things of that nature to get hits. Had a very successful year at Ohio State. He was able to take that career on to the NFL. He was successful for many years there. And there's always if he was an offensive lineman at Ohio State, he would have been in the bar. It's just like, this is like the offensive line guy. So the sort of you start talking about Orlando Pace and what he brought to the game. Next on my list, I have John Hicks. John Hicks was an interior offensive lineman from the early 70s. So I had to kind of look up some stats on Hicks. But like I said, everybody on my list is very personal. John Hicks was a runner-up for the Heisman. It's in the 73 season. So that he was an interior offensive lineman, runner up for the Heisman. That's just essentially unheard of. He ended up losing to a guy from running back from Penn State, but he was the first person, period, to start three games in a Rose Bowl, two-time All-American, like I say, runner up for the Heisman, and was a fantastic player. Hicks is personal for me because I was telling you before the show, Tim, back when I was in school, we'd be in the middle of a game, right? So we locked in, as an offensive lineman, you always kind of sit together as a unit. And up out of nowhere, John Hicks just pop up and just cusses out. Like, what the heck is going on out there? You guys need to pick it up. This is unfair. And it was almost like the turn, like, you guys just need to play harder. You guys are playing too soft. And then we were like, Hicks, we up by 20 points. Like, what's going on? And he'd just be going in, dogging us. But that's what he expected to see out the offensive lineman, especially the interior guys. Like, he wanted to see you go out there and run some guys over. Coach Woody Hayes once said it. John Hicks was the best player on his 73-74 team, and also the best interior lineman he has ever seen play the game. And very, very talented and dominant guy there. Got Troy Smith on my list. Heisman running quarterback. If you know me, Troy Smith went to Glenville. He's a very special guy, character guy. He was essentially did things the right way at Ohio State. And coming in, we had a chance to play with him for a year. Obviously led that team to a national championship, came up short in the actual game, but a very special to see his leadership, the diversity he faced in the game, right? Before the show, we kind of talked about it. Troy Smith came in the same class as Justin Zwick. And if you don't know much about Zwick out of high school, Justin Zwick was on the cover of a Wheaties box. So you're talking about like the all-American, a national campaign for his play. And obviously some adversity there. Zwick started before Troy. Due to some playing, Troy got an opportunity, and he kind of took it and ran with it and was able to win the Heisman. And last on my list is Ted Ginn Jr. Played 2 years with high school with Ted Ginn Jr., played a year of college with him. He's one of those guys that essentially, he's just a special player, special talent, very hardworking guy, most hardworking guy I've seen in high school. Basically, everybody had to mirror their hard work to what Ted Ginn Jr. did in high school. And he was one of those type of guys that you would know it as an athlete, Jim. He was one of those guys that essentially would do something special in that time, even though he never did it before. If you need to run faster than he ever had before, he would just do it at that moment. And, like, he'd make a big catch. He always made the big play when needed to, and you turn to him. So that's my Mount Rushmore. Like I said, it's pretty personal. But, I mean, those are, you know, four definitely greats at OSU and tremendous players. Now, Chip, what you got on your list, man? Let's get into it, man. Let's talk about it.
that was all solid picks. So
for me, it's a lot too. I'm sorry, man.
For me, it's a combination, I think, of a little bit of personal and a little bit of you know, history, right? And you know, mind you, I didn't grow up in Ohio, right? So yeah. A lot of the guys I knew growing up out of Ohio State were the people in the record books, you know, the guys that everybody knew. But starting off, Archie is a two-time Heisman Trophy winner, right? Yeah. Like, yeah. He is like the definition of Ohio State great. And, yeah, you know, when you talk about a Mount Rushmore, I got to lead with Archie, all yeah. right? Number two, I got Troy Smith. So this is a little bit more personal, right? I played with Troy, was able to see his leadership up close and personal. He's another guy who won the Heisman. And for all the things you mentioned, I think Troy belongs on that list. So I'm going to keep it going. And this is where things get a little right? When we think about Rushmore, we automatically think offensive players.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the reality is the defense, there's a lot of impactful defensive players in Ohio State history. And the guy that I'm going to mention is a guy who, from the first time I saw him come off the ball, first time, I'm like, damn, this kid is special. I don't know where he learned this from. He didn't have enough time to develop into this level of player. And that's Joey Bosa. Joey Bosa makes my Mount Rushmore. I think we give a lot of the guys who we saw more recently a little bit of negative bias when it comes to this Mount Rushmore thing, because
that's just how it goes, man.
Yeah, like, you don't have the nostalgic, the black and white photos, big jerseys that don't fit you, right? But Joey Bosa, to me, was impressive. Every snap. They couldn't block
him. Couldn't block him. No. Joey Bosa was one of the guys that I would say, like, I used to, like, his last year at Ohio State, no offensive lineman ever finished a play locked out on Joey Bosa. He always was free. Like, no matter, obviously, he didn't make all the plays, but he was never blocked. He was going to get to where he was going to get to every snap. It was very, very impressive, for sure.
I remember, versus Penn State in overtime, walk-off sack. The running back comes, he just pushes the running back into the quarterback. He didn't touch the quarterback. The running back into the quarterback. Boom, it's a sack. That's the type of plays that Joey made. Joey would make plays where you see him get double teamed by two guys and they ran the ball to his side and he destroyed the two guys and make the tackle. It's like nobody else on defense really had to participate in that play. Then this last spot for Mount Rushmore, I went back and forth. A lot of guys I can mention, man. So I went with my heart.
Okay.
I went with the guy that when it came time to play Wisconsin, and I knew I had to buckle up my chin strap extra tight because they were going to line up with two, three tight ends, fullbacks, and I was going to hit the running back. I would go watch film of this guy, and he would inspire me to go out there and do what I had to do. And it's Antoine Winfield, man.
Yeah,
I'm going with Antoine Winfield as my fourth spot. Antoine Winfield, he had a season with 100 tackles from the cornerback position. Antoine Winfield is about 5'9", 180. 100 tackles. He was voted, I think in 1997, voted the MVP of the team.
Yeah, that's crazy. A cornerback. Yeah.
From the cornerback position, MVP of the team. This is a team with, I think, Andy Casemire on it, other great players. And if you just watch him pound for pound, Antoine Winfield, pound for pound, is probably the best football player that I've seen play defense. With his size and the way he took guys off their feet when he made a tackle, man, it's impressive. Now, obviously, there's a lot of other guys, man. I have to get some honorable mentions.
Yeah, we got to get honorable mentions, man. Nah, man, our comments going to get tore up, man. I got shout out. Obviously, you know, my list is my list, you know, and you said Archie, so I'm not, you know, everybody know Archie's one of the best college football players ever, so, you know, we're not even going to go there. But I got to shout out Chris Gamble, man. Like, growing up for me, I'm an Ohio guy, right? My list is very personal. Obviously, a couple guys from my high school on the list, and they was OSU great, so well-deserving to be on there. But growing up young, man, I remember just watching, like, Chris Gamble and, like, things he used to do. We used to play both sides of the ball, play corner, play wide receiver. And then like every time he got the ball, he made a play. Like, it was just like every time every catch was like first down or something crazy like that. Then he'd go right over on defense where he was at, like, more permanently. And, man, I just watched him make a lot of plays. Like, it was a year, like, when Ohio State was kind of iffy on offense, right? Like, you know, they didn't have a ton of guys. Obviously, you're making the guy play both ways in college. But, like, he could do it. And he did it. He did it well, man. So, got to shout out Chris. Honorable mention, man. Who you got?
Yeah, I got a few guys. Chris Spielman. I think about guys when you think about Ohio State, who represents Ohio State, especially on the defensive side, who comes to mind? Guys like Chris Spielman, Mike Doss.
Will Smith. Yeah.
It's a long list, but, you know, those guys are up there. I do agree, Orlando Pace on the offensive side of the ball. And then Eddie George, right?
Heisman Trophy.
If you put him on the Mount Rushmore, makes sense, right? That was my fourth, but I opted to go defense instead. So, and then real quick, just single year players, because there's, you know, when we go Mount Rushmore, we always think about multiple years, right?
Trying to
get a body of work. But single year, some of the best single years that I've seen, Malik Hooker at the safety position.
Yeah.
He had one of the best years that I've seen from a single player with that breakout year and then going to the league. And Maurice Claret, man. Claret, when I was – obviously, I watched Ohio State, but I had just moved to Florida the year Ohio State won the national championship. And, you know, obviously, everybody in Florida at that time – was on the Miami Hurricane bandwagon collectively, right? And I hated it. I hated it. So I bet money that Miami was going to lose. I didn't truly believe it.
How old did you bet money, man? Like, oh no, we might have an investigation on here, man. How old is it now?
I didn't bet, like, I just bet people.
Yeah, you know, bet your friends.
Put money. I didn't bet in Vegas or nothing like that.
Yeah.
But, and my bet, my full confidence was in who? It was in Maurice Correct. That's what my confidence was in. So he was kind of my introduction to Ohio State football. And, you know, the rest is history, right? That was my You know, I had seen Ohio State play. I watched them. But after that, it was kind of like I had a little bit more of a connection to Ohio State and paid attention a little bit more. So, shout out to Maurice Corretta as well. So, that's my list.
Yeah, man. I mean, eventually we got to cut your list off. We don't know where it started each, young man. But no. But I mean, obviously, this is Ohio State, right? There's a ton of fantastic players, right? And I like the fact that you had a younger guy on the list, right? Because a lot of times, you know, you start talking about, current guys, you'd be like, like it doesn't matter because you watched them, and that'd be the whole miss, right? Like, because I watched him every day. Like, he was good, but was he all time great? Like, yeah, no. Some of these guys, like, in these recent years, have really did some very impressive things for Ohio State, and yeah, we want to, take some time to give them a shout out, man, because they well deserve it. But for right now, we gearing up for spring football. We got a couple weeks, right? A few weeks before spring ball kicks off, and we've been going through the position groups, essentially kind of giving a grade to what guys did last year, and then essentially a grade to what we're expecting to kind of see out of different position groups here moving forward. And today we wanted to kind of start off with talking about the defensive line. Obviously, the defensive line, a lot of headlines there, right? We had a lot of guys that could have went off to the NFL, and we had a lot of guys that decided to come back for one more year to give it one more run, man. So, first off, go ahead and give me a grade from our defensive line. What's your thoughts? And then we kind of dive in a little bit more specifically about the players.
Yeah, I think overall the defensive line, I give them a B+ coming out of the last year and going into next year. I think they stay consistent because their team, outside of Mike Hall, their team remains intact, that group. I do think they could have, to get an A, they could have done better in terms of pass rush, especially early on in the season. There wasn't a ton of pass rush. There also wasn't a ton of drop back pass early in the season. There was a bunch of quick pass. They didn't have a lot of time. But even still, you didn't see guys get on the edge and get free that often early on. But I think they made up for a lot of it, later on in the year as, played against teams like Penn State or whatnot. Guys got pressure on the quarterback. That pressure rate went up. You got the same group coming back, and some young guys getting older, right? And I'm still there was a interview with James talking about how to use C.J. Hicks. So here's the opportunity to compete at that linebacker position. You got another guy, Arvell Reese, who plays linebacker. And I have to always talk about Sonny Styles. I think some of these guys got to put their hand in the dirt, man. I think some of these guys on the third down line up on the edge, slide JT, slide Jack Sawyer inside, and go get a guy, a speed rush on the edge, man. I think we have the level of talent in the building. I just think there's an opportunity to use it just a little bit, situationally use it a little bit better, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, obviously, like we said, we know who the starters are. Like, Barry Injury, right? We got JT on one edge, Jackson on the other. In the middle, we had Tyleek Williams and we had Ty Hamilton. Like, Barry Injury or someone, getting into the doghouse, something out of ordinary, that will most likely be our starting defensive line. And like you say, the moral of the story here is like depth, right? What's the competition behind these guys? Last year, our starters played a lot, to be frank. They obviously Mike Hall Jr. played a lot inside on the interior, but when you start looking at the edges, it's like Jack Sawyer and JT that took the vast majority of the snaps on the edge. So it's the end of the year they start to play guys a little bit more here and there. But like I say, this year I think we need to go back to being more of a traditional defensive line where you rotate guys in. We got depth, right? We got Caden Curry who's kind of been in the talks for a couple of years. He got to get his feet wet a little bit late last year playing off the edge. We got Kenyatta Jackson coming up from Florida, big-time recruit. So, it's time to kind of, stick him out there to see what he could do actually make a field on the field. Mitchell Melton, who's traditionally like a linebacker, but we've seen him come off the edge essentially last year. And if you go to a practice, he's there all the time working his pass rush moves. So let him go and tear it up. And I hate talking about the freshman because, you just never know what you're going to get out of a guy. But Edric Houston is coming in as well, who's a five-star recruit. So you would think they would try to, if any way possible, try to let him get his feet wet and get him out there as well. But like you say, I mean, we got we got guys, right? But it's like it's up to the coaches to kind of take the chance and kind of, you know, have the confidence to go ahead and go out here and let these guys play and see what they can do. Because, like I said, they've been around a while. And obviously with this transfer portal, you don't want to lose guys because they didn't really get the opportunity. And some guys, you know, obviously it's a mental part of the game, but some guys may be gamers, right? You got to throw them out there and see what they're able to do. We got coaching news as well for the defensive line. They brought in a Brandon Jordan to be their pass rush specialist. Jordan's coming in from the Seattle Seahawks from this role last year. And a couple of seasons ago, he was in the same role at Michigan State. So it'll be interesting to see what he brings, right? Like you just said, like last year, and it had to be by design, our defensive line spent a lot of time kind of running down the middle, offensive linemen, looking at squeezing pockets and pushing guys. So this year, maybe they get back to get on the edge a little bit. We know JT could win on the edge. Watched him do it the whole season before that. Very special players there. Specifically, when we're talking about these younger guys that hasn't been on the edge that much, Milton, Arville Reese, if we're going to play them in that position, we don't want those guys running down the middle of people, CJ Hicks and those guys. We want them on the edge, trying to be off the lineman with speed and being disruptive in that matter.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see how, you know, the rotations develop. I think, like you mentioned, you know, those defensive ends played a lot of snaps in games. Yeah. To the point where sometimes they were actually visibly tired, right?
Yeah.
You don't want a guy who's visibly tired on the 3rd and 7 have to go now get a pass rush and go get the quarterback. I understand if they're like, if the offense is moving fast, right, and there's not enough time to get subbed in and out. But get some rotation in there, get some guys out there, some fresh legs. And I think as the season progressed, they, you know, you saw Mitchell Melton in there some, you saw Caden Curry out there making plays. I throw guys like CJ Hicks and Sonny Styles out there just to see if it's an opportunity for them to be able to get some pressure and be disruptive based on their physical tools and gifts. But you just never know what those guys are capable of in that sense. But, man, I've seen these guys in high school highlights and whatnot. Yeah. And I just feel like you want to get those guys as close to the ball as possible to be able to go and do something simple, like go get the ball. And I think you know, there's some opportunity to at least test those guys out in that capacity for real.
Right. I mean, when it comes down to it, it's football, right? Speed kills, right? I was an offensive lineman. I was an offensive tackle. If the guy off the edge is really fast, like it doesn't even really matter the physical side of it. Like, I have to worry about his speed and get into a position where he's just not beating me around the edge to get to the quarterback. And you would think, you know, with the athletic ability, once again, of CJ Hicks, Sonny Styles, some of the younger guys that we mentioned, Melton, Reese, well, Melton, not young, but, you know, smaller guy. But Reese is a young guy as well that we've seen get on the edge a lot in practice. That, you know, that would be, you know, what they could actually do to impact the game. And obviously, you can scheme it up, right? We're talking about third down situations. Scheme it up where, you know, this guy can get a one-on-one and we can kind of just let him just kind of, you know, think of nothing. Just go to the quarterback, play as fast as possible and see what we could do and be disruptive in that fashion.
Yeah, and they could drop in coverage too, right? I mean, you have some level of versatility there where, you know, these guys are used to dropping already because that's what they do. So you can send them, you can show, you can drop. And knows, you know, he has the mind to be able to scheme that stuff up. So, yeah, I think there's some opportunity to use them in that capacity. And we got a new linebacker coach, and James, who's going to continue to develop those guys. They also brought in defensive line coach as well. So hopefully, you know, these young coaches can continue to help develop these guys and continue to improve that position group.
Yeah, it's exciting, man, because, I mean, really right now around the facility, if you know what's going on, you know, this is big workout time, right? This is when you have your 6 a.m., 5 a.m., whatever the Ohio State does now, the team workouts, and you kind of like, you know, you shred it up, right? You kind of get in there, you're all working out together as a bunch, you kind of really getting after it, and, you know, you start to see some of the clips online, so I don't know, I know they're kind of sprinkling in there those team workouts, but those are usually tough, grueling workouts, because you kind of start getting that mindset that this is the 2024 team. These are you guys. And the A1 from last year that you went to battle with, you know, they're not gone. But this is the team that we're taking forward. Obviously, stuff always could happen with, you know, transfer portal, interesting that. But in senses, these are the guys. These are going to be the bunch. So that's when you start to kind of, you know, put those leadership skills out there, right? You know, who's actually bringing the juice? Who's actually verbalizing what they're going to do? So you kind of just take that, get ready for the spring. And it's like, you know, it's an exciting time for Ohio State. If you're like, you know, if you're a coach, you're kind of chopping out your bits a little bit, getting ready to kind of see your guys and move forward from there. So it's an exciting time. So, yeah, so, I mean, what else we got position group wise? I mean, we got to do running backs. We probably grab them next week. We've got wide receivers we need to discuss as well. So we got a couple more positions to dive in on that. But I think it's been pretty fun so far, you know, kind of talk about what's there, what's available. Did I get those guys a grade? I think I skipped their grade, man. They get B's,
what is
man.
Your grade? What's your grade,
man. My grade is a B. I feel like, you know, and I just feel like they're really good. They play well. But I want them to get on the edge and be a little bit more disruptive as we've seen in the past. In certain situations. I know why they did it, right? Basically, the whole year, last year, was to get ready to stop Michigan run game. And I understand it. They did it. Okay, job. Obviously, they should have get the job done inside of the game. But, you know, playing the run, it was a lot better. But now it's time to kind of get back on that edge a little bit, let our guys tear it up. Looking at a B this year because I just expect more because we just got really talented guys there. So I really want to see them be disruptors. But once again, that's our show. So that's our show. Like to end all our shows with a nice OH.
IO.
Go Bucks. And we'll catch you guys next week.
Go Bucks.